we are part of the family of God. Hallelujah. Scripture says we are joint heirs together with him. We ought to be thankful that the Lord has made us into, or made us a part of his kingdom. Genesis chapter 3. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, speaking of Adam, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove him out, or he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Let us pray. Father, we are thankful today for the opportunity to have access to your throne. Bless your word today, Lord, that it will be receptive to the ears, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm talking to us today, and if you might want to subject it, access. And when we talk about that, we are reminded of our computers. We need a password in order to access certain function. Our homes, we have protection, and we place alarms which need an access code. And if many of us know how this can be very troubling sometimes, that you're not familiar with a particular residence and you are a particular place, and you go there to access to the place, and upon trying several times, we are denied access. I went to a good friend of mine, his residence, and when we got there, we tried several things, not following the exact instruction. And we found out that we were not able to go in, even though we were given the access code. But finally, something happened and we got the green light and it said, access granted. And we were able to go in. And I remember one lady came and she was groaning and complaining. She said, why do you have to take us to a place like this? Why would somebody want to live behind these security? And we say it is to keep bad people out. We don't build fences to keep good people in, but it's to keep intruders out. And it is because of complainers and groaners like some of those folks why you want to be where you are, because, you know, being ignorant does not tell you when, you know, it's all right for you to, you know, to be where you're not supposed to be. But having access make us know that we are special, because not everybody can have access to some facilities or some privileges that is granted to many of us. Man fail to keep his part of the bargain with God, and therefore he was denied access. And security was placed so that man could not have right to the tree of life, lest he should eat and live continually in sin. So God placed, according to verse 24 of the chapter which we read, that God placed cherubims to keep man from accessing access. We are privileged today to have access to the throne of grace. As Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 stated to us, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The blood of Jesus gave us access. The Bible said once we were not a people, but God has engrafted us into this priesthood so that we can be a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And we, a generation, we're not a people, has become a people. We read today how it is that access is vital to us. There was a songwriter that penned it this way. He said, oh, what an awful picture, standing outside, denied of access on the day of judgment. We are blessed to know that we have got access. Romans chapter 5 and verse 2 stated, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we shall stand and rejoice in the glory of God. We have access by faith in Jesus Christ. For by faith are we saved through grace. Faith has brought us to a point where we can have access in Christ Jesus. By faith, we have come this far. Let us not be weary in well-doing, because we have come this far by faith, but we still have a long way to go to be like the Lord. The song says we have to be bountiful, dutiful, kind, and just in all that we do. So having come this far, let us be bold and be brave. Ephesians 2 and verse 18 said, through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Speaking of Jesus, he has done so much for us that when we put in our code, we hear the sound, access granted. We are not prohibited from going in because we have what it takes to go in. I'm reminded of a story. There was a gentleman in Acts chapter 8 that, having seen the disciples laying of hands and folks were being healed of every kind, he wanted access to the throne. Or he wanted the same access to get to be able to lay hands and folks would receive their healing. But in verse 20 of chapter 8 of Acts, we might move up a little bit before that, verse 14. Verse 9, but there was a certain man called Simon, which beforehand in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Sometimes there are hackers that get into a security system that does not say they have right to access what they've got. And that's why the Bible tells us many are called, but few are chosen. It also stated that the wheat and tares would have to grow until the day of harvest. And Jesus stated that many shall say, have I not sent up souls in your name? But in the last day he said to them, depart from me, I knew you not. He have never known you in the first place. How did you get here? It's been known. There was a feast, and he had invited his beloved guests. And there were folks that showed up without their wedding garment. And the Bible stated that they were cast into utter darkness because they did not have proper access to the function. We should be grateful that we are blessed to have the proper access to God. Simon think that by offering money, he would be able to have access. Verse 14 said, now the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria received the word of God, and they sent unto them Peter and John, whom they were come down, prayed with them that they may receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet, he was fallen upon none of them. Only were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometime having been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus does not grant us total access to the kingdom of God. Because the Bible tells us, without the Spirit of God, you're none of his. But we shall go in and out and find pasture. So having been baptized is the first step of going in and getting out. And Philip rather heard, I've just lost my page. Verse 17. Then lay their hands on them, and they receive the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying of hands of the apostles, then the Holy Ghost was given, he offered money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter stood up and said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. He said, thou mayest neither have part nor lot in this matter. That means he's telling them, our Simon, that I don't care what money you have. Because your thought is devious. You have no part into this function. And so he was dismissed. Hallelujah. In chapter 9, we found Saul, before he becomes Paul, he was persecuting the church. And Saul threatened and slaughtering against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest and he desired a letter to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any in the way, whether were man or woman, and maybe children also, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly, see, sometimes in our life there is always a suddenly. And I told my class last week, do not pray for destruction on your enemy. Do not hate your enemy. Do not despise them that oppress you. But pray earnestly for your oppressor. Pray earnestly for your enemy, that God will save them. Because if God saves your enemy, they're no longer your oppressor. And they become your friend, they become your ally, and therefore you have to worry about them anymore. But sometimes we went about this the wrong way, because we want God to smite them dead and get rid of them so that you can have access boldly and walk freely without interference. But that's not how the salvation works. God needs to save them, because you sometimes, or we sometimes, were vile and more vicious than many of our oppressors. Our condition was to be pitied because of who we were. We were worse than some of these folks. But know that God has changed us. We have forgotten the process that it takes and what one need to go through in order to put down their ways of oppression. So Paul journey came near Damascus. And there was a suddenly in his life, he fell to the earth, and he heard a great voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, you journey with me a little. Saul apparently did not know the Lord. But when you have an encounter with the Lord, you're going to know his voice, because it's going to be different from every other voice. And songwriter Pendet said, when you reach the crystal seas, voices will call. Not may or might will call, but my Savior's voice will be sweeter than all. So Saul, hearing this voice, and he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. People try to get into this thing or get access some other way. And they are propagating that Jesus is not the way to salvation. But the Bible said Saul recognized, or he thought he knew what he knew then. He thought he was a saved person, and he was annihilating everyone that who professes that Jesus is Lord. And he got to the point where he said, I am Jesus. You know, the voice got to be the voice of the Lord, but he did not know who was his Lord. So he said, who are you, Lord? And Jesus said, I am Jesus, whom you persecutest. And it is very hard for you to kick against the pricks. This terminology, from where I'm standing, means something that hurts you so bad. Why are you trying to hurt yourself in the process? He was kicking something that was pricking him. He thought that he knew God. And he has the right to protect the God whom he knows. But Jesus was telling him, it's hard for you to kick against the prick. And he, trembling in astonishment, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And he said, arise and go to the city, and it shall be told to you what to do. So the men with journey with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing nothing. And Saul arose from the earth, and with his eyes were still open, yes, but he could not see. He saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days, fasting, neither eating nor drinking. And there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. And to him he said, Lord, he saw the Lord in a vision. And Ananias spoke to God, and he said, behold, I am the Lord. The Lord said unto Ananias, arise and go into the street that calls Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, the son of Saul, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayed, and had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming, which is the one I'm talking to right now, and putting his hand on him, he might receive his sight. Ananias got up and he said, Lord, I've heard tale about Saul. He's a vicious and a really rebellious man. How much evil he had done to the saints in Jerusalem. But Jesus was saying to Saul, or to Ananias, I know you hear about Saul, of all that he has done. But I'm telling you that access has been granted to Brother Saul. He's no longer the person who you knew he was. He has been changed because I put my hands and I put a stamp upon him. Access has been granted and he has been engrafted into this family. Sometimes the folks that we think that's not going to make it are the folks that we think that has no part with God is the one that God is looking upon or pointed out and said, that's my child. Hallelujah. We are a blessed people. We have been drafted into this family and we are counted as here to this royal priesthood. In Judges chapter 12, when the Amalekites and the Gideonites were at odds against each other, they were fighting, most likely killing one another. But there comes a time when one should not be judged by their contents, but they should be judged, or judged by their container, but they should be judged by the contents of the container for which they carry. In Judges chapter 12, when the Amalekites and the Gileadites took the passage of Jordan, verse 5, before the Ephraimites could get there. So when the Ephraimites were escape, I said, let's go over to the other side. The Gileadites stopped them and said, are you an Ephraimite? And if he said no, they were asked to put to a test. And there was a certain word that was unique to the Gileadites. And when the Ephraimites came in, they were put to the test and they said, tell me what is the password. And they were asked to say, Shibboleth. But because they were foreigners to this language, they opened their mouth and they could only say Shibboleth. And because they were not having the access code, they were annihilated. And the Bible said they killed everyone that had not the proper access code. We are glad today that we have the access code. We have got Jesus. And that's all that matters. We've got Jesus, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. Satan thought that he could have cramped this Christ child style. So from birth, he was after him. And Herod, being used of the devil, he tried to kill every birth child 2 years and older, pertaining to when he heard that Christ was born. And by doing so, he was able to kill the Christ child. But God told him, his parents, to get up early and leave and go to Egypt so that we can have access. There comes a time when Satan thought he had Christ. And one Friday afternoon, they nailed him to the cross. The Bible said he died. But it was not over. Satan started to rejoice. Satan thought, oh yes! There won't be any access to the tree of life. But Jesus, early, the first day of the week, he got up. And Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18 said it like this. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. That simply means, so let it be. And I didn't only get up, but I have the key of hell and death. And Paul said it this way, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? But thanks be unto God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And today I'm saying with a bold assurance, dead art no terror over the blood-washed lamb. Oh, glory, hallelujah, to the lamb. The boasted victory of the grave is gone. Oh, glory, hallelujah, to the lamb. Jesus rose from the grave. He rose triumphant as he said he would. He snatched the victory from the grave. Rose a grave a soul to save. Oh, glory, hallelujah, to the Lamb. That's why I can say, oh, happy day, I fixed my choice with thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and take this rapture all aboard. 'Tis done, the great transaction is done. I am the Lord and he is mine. He drew me and I followed him and charmed me to confess the voice divine. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and sing rejoicing every day. Oh, happy day. We have got access. Death is swallowed up into victory. And he has removed the stigma from death. And that's why we as child of the Lord can come boldly, having no fear of death. Because death is only a channel to take us from this life to the next. Because this mortal shall put on immortality. And this body shall drop to rise to seize the everlasting prize. We shouldn't be afraid of debt. We shouldn't worry because there's no stigma in debt. Debt has given us the victory. Many of us want to go to heaven, but nobody want to die. But death is a beautiful thing. Death is a chariot. That take us from this world of trouble, from this world of heartache, from this world to the world where there won't be any more pain, there won't be no tears, all will be peace forevermore. What a day. What a day. Thank God for access. Thank God for the blood. The priest would have to go in once, ever so often, to offer sacrifice for sin. But the songwriter said, not all the blood of beasts Jewish altar slain could give a guilty conscience peace. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, has came and he has took the stigma out of death. And he has given us the access code. Jesus, speaking to Peter and the rest of his disciples. And he said, I know you're here talking. Who does men say that I, the Son of Man, is? And some say that you are Elias. Some say you're a prophet. But Jesus said to Peter, now let us personalize it today. Who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. St. Matthew 16 and 13 tells you. And Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood could not have revealed this to you, Peter, but you've got a revelation straight from the throne of God. He said unto Peter, I give you the key of the kingdom. the access code the man has been waiting for. And Peter used the key on the day of Pentecost. He stood up boldly and he said, "Men and brethren, we are not crazy. And we are not drunken like you suppose. Seeing that it's too early for us to have any access to wine." But he said, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about. In the last day, God said, "I pour my spirit upon all flesh." And it's not only for whole world Jerusalem, but for us that are in West Palm Beach today. Not only West Palm Beach, but forever where that we came from. This is the church of many nationalities. The last time they were counted was like 33. It's from everywhere. We can come boldly with access to the throne of grace. Access has been granted. I'm so glad I've been engrafted and I've got the access code. Jesus paid it all for us. All to him we owe. His blood has been washed. The sin has lost its crimson stain because he washes it white as snow. I'm so glad that you and you and you and you and you, like myself, have access to his kingdom. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? It doesn't matter what folks might want to say about you. Might want to say about us. This grace has brought us this far. The same grace that allows us to have access. Therefore, Paul said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For we know that our labor is not in vain, and will not be in vain if we faint not." Having the access code, let's let Satan know that he's weak, but we are strong in the Lord. Access have been granted. Let us stand. Jesus, it's an awesome privilege for us to know that you have given us access to the throne of grace. So, Lord, we come today. Our hearts, Lord, are rejoicing. It takes a long way to go to be like the Lord. But I've got to be bountiful. I've got to be dutiful. I've got to be kind and just in all that I do. For it takes a long way to go be like the Lord. Lord, I pray today that we'll never give up our default and our access code. But Lord, I pray, give us strength to endure. We pray, oh God, that having these promises, as Paul said, dear beloved, let's lay aside every interference that will cause us to lose our access code. Let's run this race with patience. God, I thank you. Thank you. Purchased by your blood, we've got access. We've got access. Oh, how we love him. Oh, how we adore you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. I thank you. Mercy there was great, grace was free, pardon was multiplied to me. There, my burden gave me liberty on Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon was multiplied to me. There the Spirit gives me liberty on Calvary. Hallelujah. Aren't we glad for grace? Aren't we glad for grace? Hallelujah. 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 Let's find a few folks and just greet them as we break for part two. And just tell them we're glad that access has been granted. Hallelujah.